Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm chatting with Dr. Brian Walsh. Dr. Walsh is a best-selling author and international speaker. In his past, he was a journalist and broadcaster before joining a major international firm. For much of his 30-year career, he was involved in human resources, specifically with respect to the training. He elected early retirement to further an earlier interest in neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy. He returned to formal study and within 4 years achieved his Ph.D. His dissertation, which focused on accelerated learning techniques, has inspired his passion and his book, Unleashing Your Brilliance. Brian regularly conducts workshops and teleclasses on enriched learning. He is a master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. He's an acupuncture detoxification specialist. He is an emotional freedom technique practitioner and a clinical hypnotherapist. His monthly newsletter, Enriched Learning Digest, has subscribers from all around the world. Welcome, Brian.
Well, thank you. Good to be here, Gail.
Yes, it's good to have you here. There are so many people who are really struggling to try to figure out how to improve and enrich their lives, and there are some wonderful techniques. Some of the ones that you deal with are some that I've practiced myself very successfully. So you've got a wealth of information to offer the audience. So let's start on this because I know time is limited here, and we really want to highlight the key points of your book, Unleashing Your Brilliance, so that the audience will be inspired to read the reviews and listen to the podcast and go look at your book and buy it.
Great.
Having said all that, now some of the things that you've been quoted as saying, for example, are that people who are stuck in boring or dead-end jobs are there by choice. Now, I actually happen to believe this, too, but I'm sure there are many out there who would disagree. Tell us a little about what you mean by that.
Well, it does sound a little confrontational to say it's a choice. What I mean by choice, though, well, just take as an example. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we start making choices. And a lot of those choices, here's the key thing, are not conscious choices. They are unconscious choices. Now, you know, which sock you put on first, whether you put your right arm in and your left arm in, and there's so many things that are automatic. Well, they're actually choices, but they're choices that have been already pre-programmed. Now, this is the key thing, is that when I say people may be in jobs that they don't like, but they made a choice to be there, what I'm meaning is that they were put in that position because of a set of circumstances and decisions that they made at different points in their life. And some of those decisions might have been subconscious because of programming they may have had when they were much younger that somehow steered them along certain paths.
Is that what you mean when you are quoted as saying that some 95% of our behaviors are beyond our control?
Yes, and that's what I mean. I mean conscious control.
Okay.
And all these little programs we have, and we've got thousands of them running all at the same time in our subconscious, this is what makes living possible. If we didn't have all these little automatic programs and we had to make a decision for absolutely every little thing in life, that would be very, very difficult.
It's certainly time-consuming, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly would, yeah. For instance, you want to go pick up a glass of water. There are, you know, 100-plus muscles that are involved in that movement. You'd have to say, well, this muscle is going to move this far and this far and this far. You know, all those things are automatic.
Well, and how does willpower come into play in this scenario?
Well, willpower is an interesting thing. That's part of the conscious mind. And the conscious mind is a very small part of our mind. The metaphor I use with an audience is if they're sitting there with their feet flat on the floor, the area under their feet represents the power of the conscious mind, whereas the area of the rest of the floor represents the power of the subconscious mind. It's certainly the one that has the most power. It's the one that has all the permanent memory. It has the area with the habits and the patterns. It also has the emotions. So that is really the supercharge. Willpower is just an itty-bitty little thing within our conscious mind, and our conscious mind is, you know, just a little bit of RAM memory is all it is.
I like that analogy, RAM memory, and it's quite accurate.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sure that this has a lot to do with why there are many people out there who just barely squeaked through high school, who have managed to find wonderful jobs and are doing extremely well with their lives, while there are others out there, whether with or without the high school or college diplomas, who are just barely surviving and don't seem to either be interested in or know how to improve their lives.
You know, and that's interesting because those are the people I'm really after.
Uh-huh.
You know, the ones that perhaps had unfortunate experiences in schools, and it certainly wasn't their fault. What it comes down to is that schools do their best to train as many young minds as they can. The unfortunate thing is they don't train people how to think. They sort of tell them what to think. And
well, it is partly an unfortunate result of the school arena being grossly underfunded, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Undermotivated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you compare what's spent on other things that aren't so popular these days, you know, defense budgets and so on, compared to education, it's rather ridiculous. When you consider that the future of our society depends on how functional the members are, and education is certainly the key. And when I say education, I don't necessarily mean formal school education, because a lot of the kids go through school sort of being forced into a particular set of curricula which don't really serve them well. Yeah, there's some of it that is very good. It's training the mind and so on. But unfortunately, it only trains or is aimed at the left brain, which is the logical, mathematical, and linguistic part of the mind. All these other intelligence we have, for the most part, are not dealt with. And those people that are not doing well, either in their job or life generally, they probably have not had an opportunity to explore their other intelligences.
No, I know. It sort of makes me think that way too much of it is more cookie cutter than designed to appeal to the individuality of the student.
Absolutely, and that is the key, is that we all learn differently. You know, you think of your fingerprints being unique. Well, they are. Every person on the planet has different fingerprints. But, you know, the neural wiring, not only the neural wiring that we're born with, but what happens from the time we're conceived, really, things start happening within weeks as far as how the brain is wired. And then once a person's born, the nurturing takes over, and there's so much that influences the way the brain rejigs itself. So everybody's brain is wired very, very uniquely, which means we learn differently. Each of us learn differently.
And is a chunk of this, you know, I think a growing number of us are aware that most of what we know today about the brain has only really been discovered within the past 6 or so years.
Oh, yeah. And that really shocks people when they find that out. And the reason for that, of course, is the imaging technologies that have been developed over the last number of years. Up until about 15, 20 years ago, when they wanted to find out why one person was a genius and another one was a deviant, they had to wait for the person to die, and then they sliced up the brain and studied it.
Wow.
But they don't have to do that anymore. They can actually, through the PET scans, the SPECT scans, and the fMRI, they can actually watch the brain thinking, because they're able to observe where the blood goes in the brain, and the blood is drawn to the area of the brain that's working.
Wow. So is it a matter of becoming consciously aware of trying to tap into more right brain than left brain?
Yeah, I would say consciously aware. That means looking at how you take in information. There's so many ways of finding this out. Step one, of course, is to be aware of all the different ways of learning, and that's where you can get into something simple like visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Kinesthetic meaning movement. Now, we all know that we learn visually and auditorily because that's the way the schools teach. They have visual and they've got sound. But a lot of people don't understand much about kinesthetic learning. And the people that are, and we're a mixture of all three, of course,
mm-hmm.
but the people that are kinesthetic learners need to actually experience things to learn. They need to touch and feel and go through a number of physical motions in order to learn things. And those that are high in that particular area, kinesthetic, very often they find school very frustrating because they are not learning. In the younger grades, no problem, because there's a lot of activity. So they do fairly well with sandbox and, you know, all those lower grades. There's lots of activity.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get up into higher elementary and into high school, then you've got to sit still, don't move, sit in your row, and that's hell for these kids.
Follow the protocol.
Yeah.
Now, in your book, of course, the content of your book is designed to appeal to these different learning styles. And as I understand it, each chapter can be reviewed in concert with the use of a crossword puzzle and an online introspective tool.
Yeah, you know, that's
fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I found that out very early on when I was putting this book together. There's a little, I wouldn't even call it a secret formula, but why not?
Right, why not? You reviewed it in the book, right?
Yeah, whether it's a self-help book or even giving a talk. So anybody that's listening that gives talks, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know. There are three elements, and only three. And the three are make a point, tell a story, and then have them do an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If those three are covered, then you're doing great. So every teacher should be aware of this. Stories, because they're metaphors,
mm-hmm.
operate on levels other than the conscious level. So if somebody tells them, sort of like Aesop told his fable, well, Aesop got it wrong, because at the end of Aesop's fables usually is the moral of the story is, and that destroys the effect. Because if you tell a story, the conscious mind is looking at the superficial meaning. But the subconscious, always curious, it's lazy, but it's always curious, it starts, what is this all about? And it starts analyzing it for other meanings. And it analyzes it in concert with the individual's own belief system and their own filters, their own lenses, and their own nature and nurture. So it becomes very personalized. But as soon as somebody says, the moral of the story is, then the subconscious, being lazy, says, oh, that's what it's about, I'm not going to process it. And then that's the end of it.
And they lose their own, they lose their ability to make it a personal thing.
That's right. That's right, because you're imposing the lesson on people.
Yes.
So that's why when you're giving a talk or in a book, you just tell a story. Like what I did, I have a few stories in the book, but what I did is I put a lot of pictures in there. Some of them are cartoons, because as you're reading it, your eye just sort of glances over to the cartoon, and then you might continue reading. You might not consciously say, oh, I'm reading about emotions and stress right now, and he's got a picture of a chain that's sort of breaking apart, or he's got a cartoon of somebody's head in a vice grip. You know, they don't consciously think, oh, that's sort of cute and it means this and this. They just glance at it and then forget about it. But what happens is the subconscious has picked that up, and the subconscious is starting to make links and making more meaning out of what they're reading.
And is this what you mean when you refer to brain-friendly learning?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I was going to call the book originally Brain-Compatible Learning, but there are other books that use that title and similar titles, either in title or subtitle. And that would cause confusion. So we came up with Unleashing Your Brilliance. But, yeah, brain-compatible or brain-friendly learning is definitely what it's about. You know, that was the other thing, is that schools, because they teach to the left brain, they're not teaching in a brain-friendly manner.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually brain-antagonistic, because the left brain is linear and sequential, but the brain is holistic, and it links things, and it looks at the big picture and needs that. And that's just the way the brain operates. So why feed the brain in a way that it doesn't operate?
You mean you think we may have many global examples of that result?
I think so.
Okay. I guess we'll leave that at that, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, Brian, tell us how hypnotherapy works with learning, too.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the things that got me down this road originally, because I was trained as a hypnotherapist, and working with a lot of people and understanding the power of the mind, especially the subconscious mind, and doing self-hypnosis workshops and all these sorts of things, I realized that when it comes to learning, and you know, when we talk about learning, we're not talking about students necessarily. For us to enrich our own lives, we can enjoy life much more the more we have curiosity. And it doesn't mean sitting down and watching the news, but it means laughing and having fun and enjoying the richness of everything that's out there. And the more we can understand how our brain processes things, the more we're able to embrace everything that's available out there. So in hypnosis, for the student, I say, okay, we can help you with things like test anxiety, with focus, with concentration. We can help you with perhaps visualization, because visualization certainly helps when you're talking about outcomes.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps even enhance the memory, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, your book is a wonderful, I'm going to call it a tool. And frankly, I personally think that the title that you chose is one that would inspire more people to be curious about, hey, maybe I have some brilliance in here that could be unleashed. I'd like to read this and explore some of the unique learning styles that are discussed, and techniques that are discussed, and ways of tapping into that right brain hemisphere.
Yeah. That's interesting because, the title, we did that through a very interesting process called random word brainstorming.
I like that.
I explained that in there, too, and it's so powerful.
Yay.
You know, going back to visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, unleashing is kinesthetic,
mm-hmm.
right? It's movement.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliance, of course, is visual.
Mm.
So we've got both of those right in there, and we personalized it, and it's got action. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it works nicely.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we are just about out of time, and as we're wrapping things up here, is there anything else that you'd like to add at the end here for the audience to make them aware, to really enhance their awareness of the importance of a book like this?
Well, I think the main thing is that there's so much in the book. When I got to do workshops, I could talk for a whole day on this stuff, and usually the workshops are 2 or 3 hours, and I get feedback from people what they got out of it, and not only on the spot, but sometimes months later, and people subscribe to the e-zine, and they come back and they say, oh, this is so great, learn this and this. But there's so many simple, very simple things that people can take in to turn their life around. Here's a simple one. The most basic thing that you could think of is water.
Mm.
Did you know that if people are dehydrated by just 5%, their cognitive ability is down by at least 30%, and they wouldn't notice it because it happens so gradually?
I witnessed that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, and people don't think about it. So I always have water with me when I speak, and if I possibly can, I make sure the audience brings their water in. Whenever I'm doing a teleprompt, I have the people have some water with you in front of you as you go through this because it helps you think. You take some deep breathing, you know, good deep belly breathing. If you've taken some water ahead of time, it helps. It moisturizes the little air sacs of the lungs, and this mm-hmm. allows more oxygen to pass into the blood, and the blood goes straight into the brain. I mean, it just makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. And Brian, I can hear the passion and enthusiasm in your voice in this material. All this, and of course, there's what you're involved in way more material than that you've managed to put in this one book. And I know you have a wealth of resources that are available for the audience. Would you tell the audience not only where they can purchase your book, but a little bit about your website?
Oh, sure. The site is unleashingbrilliance.com.
Okay.
Unleashingbrilliance.com. I've got about 5 or 6 sites. I have to think of which one is for the book.
Understandably.
And, of course, the book's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and many other places.
Wonderful.
And the only thing is if they order it through through my site, it'll be autographed. So
there you go. I like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Audience, consider that.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Brian, I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk with us today. There is no doubt in my mind that your book is a wonderful and inspirational guide for people who really want to get more out of life.
Great.
Than just being stuck in maybe their own frustrations or their feeling of being limited in terms of not only what they think life has to offer them, but their part in co-creating it.
Yes, absolutely.
And I want to also encourage everyone out there to go to Brian's website, Unleashing Your Brilliance.
No, just Unleashing Brilliance.
UnleashingBrilliance.com, mm-hmm. as well as to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com. Look over the reviews. And this radio internet segment is going to be posted to all of those websites. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own library or as a gift. Brian, again, thank you for joining us.
You're most welcome, Gail. It's been a pleasure.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.